Y'all want some good medicine? Listening to the Sci-Fi Sisters with Dr. Pollard.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Sci-Fi Sisters podcast, where we give you our point of view. We're proud members of the Trek Geeks Podcast Network, and we're really excited to be here with you today. I'm your host, Tamia Harper. I'm joined by my sisters, Yvette Blackman-Tom.
Hello.
Fran T.
What's happening?
And Sabrina Wood.
Whoop, whoop.
And we have another sister joining us today that makes us so happy. We got to meet her recently at Trek Long Island, and quickly she became a really dear part of our lives because we just love her. Her heart is big. She's amazingly talented. You've seen her in everything from the Hardy Boys to Suits, to Designated Survivor, to the Hot Zone, to Murdoch Mysteries, to the Umbrella Academy. I mean, you name it, this sister has done it. But most importantly to us, she plays one and only Dr. Pollard in Star Trek Discovery. We have with us today none other than Miss Raven Dowda. Hi, Raven.
Hey,
everyone.
Hey, Raven in the house.
It's a reunion.
It is a sweet reunion. Meeting y'all in person at the Long Island convention. Oh my goodness. It was like coming back home. And it's amazing because this doesn't usually happen, you know, where you meet some people and there's instantly that rapport, there's instantly that history.
Yeah.
And it was just, because I was a bit anxious too. I was a bit nervous and excited about this being my first convention. And I just didn't know what to expect, you know? But it was kismet. It was just so wonderful seeing you all first morning.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm really honored to be here with you all talking and just sharing space time, you know? Really.
Thank you.
Love it.
Speaking of first thing in the morning, Yvette and I were sitting there, we were all, and her daughter and the other lady was sitting there, and I heard the two words, the Sci-Fi Sisters, because I saw you all at the table, and I'm like, uh-oh, and I looked at Yvette, I said, he said Sci-Fi Sister. That's my cue. That's my way in. I'm going over there now. Oh, did I hear you say the Sci-Fi Sisters? Two of us are here. I'm so glad that gentleman said what he said, because if he didn't, I wouldn't, you know, you just don't rush up on people while they're eating and, you just don't make a nuisance of yourself, you know.
No.
If you have a way in, you take that way
That's
in.
That's it. You have to take that opportunity. That was your invitation and you took it.
And I did. So thank you for being gracious about that.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Yeah.
I appreciate you. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really wonderful. And like you said, it did feel like kismet because, you know, we get to meet people every once in a while, but you don't have a heart connection all the time. But I got to tell you, this Discovery cast, y'all are heavy. Y'all are heavy on the heart. And it seems like every single person from the cast that we've met, we've had, it's been a meeting of human beings, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to a meeting of job titles or status, mm-hmm. you know, like fan to actor. It's just, y'all lead with your hearts first.
Yeah. There's none of that hierarchy there. It's definitely, we are heart-centered people. And, you know, just to give a special shout out to those at that convention that weekend, David Ajala and Pumbi, I mean, just in how we talk and how we interact, it's we're always coming from our heart. Like we're just speaking to each other from places of love and joy. And I mean, I just learned so much from them in spending time and space with them. Like just whether we were talking about, you know, the craft and the industry, or just talking about what we do as actors, or as, you know, with our families, whatever the topic was, I really respect and admire them as people and friends, you know, and that's how they are 24/7. And it's something that starts from the top as well. Like, I mean, Sonequa Martin Green is just exemplary in that way. She's just such a beautiful human being, and is a great reminder as to, you know, who I often ask myself this question, like, who am I? And who do I want to be? Right. I look to people in the world that emulate what it is that I wish to be. And Sonequa is definitely one of those people who, you know, she shows you how you can be, you know, a leader or a top person in a company, let's say, right? She's number one on the list, but how you can be that and still be such a grounded human being, like how you can make time for others, like how you can help lift everyone up at the same time on the road, on the journey, whatever you're creating, and you're creating it together. She shows how you can do that. Just from a heart space place. And yeah, and it's great. It's not always the case in a lot of, right? We've had jobs or been in spaces where that isn't necessarily the case.
Usually.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So having these people on this remarkable show, just setting that tone. Once you've been that way, you can't be any other way. So I have to be
spoiled now.
You can try to be another way, but it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good anymore. Yeah. No. You can't fake it anymore.
You can't fake that.
No.
You can't fake that. You know?
And every person we've interviewed from Discovery has said exactly the same thing about Sonequa Martin Green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone. We've interviewed some folks from this, and everybody says the same thing about her and her leadership.
I mean, we've had her on the show, and
we have,
and she, you know, she was everything we thought she would be, and more,
and she made us cry.
Oh, God.
We made her cry too.
We made her cry. We were all crying. Five black
all
women just crying.
All of them. Which is all so good. You
it
know?
Is. It was. Great. It was like therapy.
That's it. Mm-hmm. We need to help each other, and we help heal each other by sharing our stories, sharing our experiences, you know, and, creating safe spaces to do that, so we can go out into the world and also affect that change, you know.
And I think that's why I've heard you say that before about safe spaces, and I think that's what we tried to make this podcast a safe space, especially a safe space for us, because we're nerds, you know. We're nerds. We're black women nerds, and we need a safe space. So we made our own. And then we just bring people into this safe space, so you can nerd out or talk about. And we want you to come in here and be loved on, and you know, it's, we don't ask like questions that we wouldn't want your mother to know about. Or you know, we just want to talk to you and make you feel good and let you know that you make us feel good when we watch you, because you do. And I think we've had that conversation.
Yeah.
When you get on screen as a black woman and you emulate somebody in science or somebody in a leadership role, somebody who's really smart, that always makes an impact. I don't care how big or small your role is, but you definitely make an impact on me, because I believe in science. I have children that I have in science, and just to see the doctor is always so important on Star Trek.
Right.
You know, and then when you came, because I'm a big Beverly Crusher fan, you know, she's the woman doctor, right? But then when you came on, I was like, wait, the black woman doctor?
Yes.
So that, you know, so that's why when I saw you, I was like, oh my God, you know, I just love Dr. Pollard. Dr. Tracy Pollard is, Lieutenant Commander.
Dr. Yes, Caller. Lieutenant Commander. Caller, she is fierce.
She is a fierce one, and she's just like Bones. She's always got a sarcastic comment, right. You know, and I love that.
She just slips it right on in. Like,
right.
You know,
right. Slips it right.
Always right on in. And it's like, boom, yep. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great. It's just wonderful. I wish there was more of Dr. Pollard. I really do, because I think that's such a rich character. But you play it spot on.
Tracy P has a deep, dear place in my heart, and I do. I love her sass. I love her energy. I love mm-hmm. how she cares. I love her meticulousness. Like, I so many things about her that, you know, have made me a better person, I feel, as well, and playing that, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's awesome, and I've enjoyed every minute.
I love that.
That pivotal line you said that time, I need that bio bed.
Y'all need to get the hell out of here.
Get out of the way, because I need that. Give me the bio bed, okay?
Y'all in here talking, so y'all are fine.
Because that was a sister. That was a sister.
That was a sister. I need a bio bed.
That was a sister, straight into the point. Like,
you don't have to
take
go
this
home.
Conversation
you can't
elsewhere.
Stay here.
Right, you cannot stay here.
I'm getting that bio bed.
Gotta go.
I loved it.
I have a question. Like, did you, when you got that part, like, were you reading for Dr. Pollard? I mean, like, did you know that that's the part that you were going for?
Yes, actually, I did know that was the part I was going for. And they sent, like, you know, audition sides, and I memorized the information and thought a lot about who she was, where she came from, who she was working with in the scenes. And, you know, everything is quite private as well. So I don't know exactly. They redact things, so you mm-hmm. don't know exactly. And the names aren't the real names. So, you know, there's a lot about the situation that's secretive going in. And I felt like I just had to make some strong choices and lead from my heart. And that's one of the things that I was really proud of, actually, in auditioning for them, was that I thought about who were the people in the scene and who were they, more importantly, to Tracy? Who were they to Pollard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're friends. Well, where did we meet? How far back do we go? You know, they're in a crisis situation. Oh my goodness, what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just how much does it tug on my heart? And okay, so how does she show up professionally even when her heart is invested, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of the rare auditions that you get where the material is so rich.
Yeah.
And then once I freaked out, you know, got over my nerves of, oh my God, it's Star Trek. you got to kind of put that to the side.
Sure.
So you can just speak.
I obed gave it away.
Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So once I was able to breathe again, it was a great audition. I had so much fun just reading.
Oh, that's cool.
That
is so cool.
I wanted to do it all day. Yeah.
Now, did you watch Star Trek before you got the part?
I did.
Okay.
I did watch it with my mom.
Haven't we've all watched it with a parent.
Mm-hmm. Or grandparent.
Or grandparent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember being curled up on the couch with mom and we'd just watch it, the original.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And sorry, I'm going to grab some water here. But sure. Yeah, it was just so surreal, actually, auditioning for it and thinking back to when and how like just so many great moments that are associated with Star Trek for myself and my family. And then also I fell in love with The Next Generation. That was really my jam. Right. And I got into Deep Space Nine later, but it's just been so surreal.
I can't imagine. Wow.
I know, right?
Because that was the first I thought of, like, in playing a doctor. I was like, oh my goodness, this is in the lineage of Bones and Crusher. Like, it's just
yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, what? You're a doctor on Star Trek? What? Win in the lottery, you know?
That's it. That's it.
It's so, right. So honoring, so honoring.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we're so excited that you're in our family, you know, because you know, there's some characters and like you don't see them as often, but every time we see Dr. Pollard is not milquetoast, right? Like mm-hmm. Dr. Pollard is always giving you something interesting that makes you like, cause you think like, oh, okay, here comes another doctor on the screen. Like, do I, especially for those of us that get like, don't really care, but to hear all the techno babble all the time. We're like, blah, 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 blah. Techno babble, get to the plot, you know? And I'm like, and my eyes will just start to zone right on out for a second, but you can't do that with Dr. Pollard. Like you can't do that. You command that presence there mm-hmm. on the screen. It's like I'm watching. Like all you could just be saying hello. And I'd be like, you see how she said hello? You see
right. she said an eyebrow.
Yeah, it was like, that was okay. What else you got to say? Hello. You know, she's so interesting. I love it. I love it. You know, I think back to. You know, we were talking before a little bit right before we came on, and we were all sitting around here talking about the things that we'd seen you in. And I think that's one of the reasons, like when I saw you on the screen in Star Trek, I was like, I felt comfort, like a sense of comfort. I was like, oh, I'm in good hands. I know this sister because you have been in everything. You are a working sister.
I'm working. You know, got the mortgage to take care of.
Hey, you
know, gotta live, right?
Right. That's right.
Nothing like that motivation of needing to live. So.
That's right. That's it.
But no, I'm very thankful and I'm very blessed. I mean, living in Canada is wonderful because we have such a vibrant. Community, the film and television community is so mm-hmm. strong. Mm-hmm. And so from time, I mean, we've had just American productions come up and work. And I am going to take this moment just to give a special shout out to our writers and our actors, mm-hmm. everyone down in the States right now, the writer's strike going mm-hmm. on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I want to mm-hmm. send out a lot of love to them. And I'm just so proud and honored for them standing up for what they need, what yes. they believe in, and holding that line, like just stay strong. Mm-hmm. I know it takes time, but you're doing the right thing and we're all with you and we love you and admire you. So just want to say that.
Yes. All right. Here. Yeah. We definitely are strong supporters of the Writers Guild. So definitely. Yeah. And SAG, because you guys are next.
Right? Well, yeah, so everybody voted. It was like, yep. Unanimous vote. We're yeah. just ready to go.
But the directors mm-hmm. got what they wanted quick. I was like, wow, that was quick. I was like, okay, hopefully that don't mean something to everybody else. But
this
wow,
is it.
That was quick. Yeah. But yeah, we definitely stand strong with the WGA. Definitely.
Absolutely.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So that's it. I was just going to say, I'm just so blessed because we have so many productions that come up here, like about, I'd say 70-80% of my work is American work that okay. just come up, and it's I'm so thankful for it. So that's why you see all these shows that I'm a part of.
Mm-hmm. That's why we know a sister's face, you know. Like, hello. Like, I know you. You know, I like I'm looking for the quote because it's so dope. Okay, your quote that you say that in your bio about yourself, that you are a spiritual alien masking as a human being who's learning how to love, act, write, design, teach, and listen in order to take over the world. I love it.
Yeah, man. That's how I feel.
I do
feel like a spiritual alien, you know.
I love that.
Never felt like I belonged from day one.
Wow.
You know, love my family, love my friends, love the community, but I've just always felt like an outsider. I just
know that feeling.
Right? Right? Mm-hmm. Thought differently, I've seen the world differently. I don't understand a lot of the things going on in this world. Like, I really don't understand why we have these struggles and these fights. And like, it just boggles my mind. Mm. And also just, I think I've just been always a creative kid. As a kid, that was off in my head, imagining things, mm-hmm. doing make-believe, you know, doing shows for the parents when they pick us up, you know, after school, or when we're at the babysitters, you know, mm-hmm. we like a little magic show or something for them. Mm-hmm. I've always been imagining things and off into my own world. And I'm still trying to figure out, and I guess this is my lifelong mission, you know, to seek new ways of being, to try and understand the plights of others, and to understand how I can be an authentic person mm-hmm. and stand for what I believe in, and that's okay just as it is, right? Mm-hmm. Change or compromise or to feel less than or what have you. So yeah, so I'm just trying to figure it out and hopefully help others as well, help mm-hmm. others to see how their uniqueness is their superpower,
right?
Instead of feeling like, oh, I don't belong. No, we're not all meant to be the same. We can't. So mm-hmm.
that's boring.
Right? Shine in your individuality. Yeah. You have a message. You have a reason why you're here. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to give comfort to someone else or to, mm-hmm. you know, we're
it's a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
Finding out who you are.
Yeah.
For sure. Yep. And it changes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because after a while, you're like, well, I don't really care.
Right? Right?
So. Yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever you want. I don't care.
And when you get to be my age, all that caring about what people think and all that, because I've always been weird all my life, I don't give a fluke about what people think.
Right.
Yeah, no more flukes really to give.
Don't. No more flukes to give.
I've won. They're all gone. I don't care.
That's going to be my new thing, Fran.
It's always Fran.
A fluke.
More flukes to give.
I have none.
I love it.
I wanted to ask
Sabrina,
a question.
Okay, Sabrina,
go ahead. Go ahead, Sabrina. I'm sorry.
No. I was just, you made me think of a quote from B.B. King who said, a lot of people do what I do, and a lot of people do it better, but nobody else does it like me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. B.B. King.
B.B. King.
I mean, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. So I wanted to ask about the play you did, Addicted. Mm. Did I say that correctly? Yes. I just want to know some more about that, because you wrote and directed it, right?
I wrote it and acted it. And
oh, started. Okay. Okay.
But so the play Addicted came out of this incredible program. So there's a theater called Wata, mm-hmm. Wata Theater, created by the incomparable, there's a woman named Debi Young. Uh-huh. Debi Young, Anita Africa, D'BI.
Okay.
YOUNG. You gotta check her out.
Definitely. Yeah, I already website. Did.
She has a website. Yeah, the Decolonial Arts. Uh-huh. This woman is so phenomenal. I'm like, how come she isn't running the world yet? Because we all could just be taking a page from her. She came up with this beautiful program. So it's called the Anita Africa Method. It's gone through different iterations, but now it's the Anita Africa Method. And it's basically like this transformative program. It's a way to help you to gain deeper access into who you are and to help you tell your story in whatever facet way that may be. So yes, it was a theater program. However, we had, you know, maybe you're a photographer, maybe you're a writer, maybe you're a dancer. Didn't matter what talents you had or where you're coming from, this was a program to just help get you, help give you deeper insights into just what your thoughts are, what your core woundings are, how can we move through these spaces? How can we show up? And so it looks at different aspects of our lives, whether it's our thoughts, our rhythms, our sleeping patterns, our dietary, like every little thing that goes into who we are.
Wow.
It does. Yeah. It just speaks to everything. So literally from this program, and it was a beautiful program still going on. We would meet, you know, we'd meet weekly type of thing, and would share whatever we had created based on part of her program. So let's say the first one was orality. We looked at the stories that we are told. We look at the stories that we tell ourselves. We look at the stories that we say that we don't necessarily believe, or the ones that we do. And we would share them. And I ended up putting together a one-woman show, because it grew increment by increment. And at the time, and it's all, you know, it's also a life going process. I was really dealing with my own addictions, my own alcoholism in particular. And this program gave me a really strong focus, and it gave me the gift of being able to look within myself from a conscious place, though. Not a place of like, oh, gotta fix this, or oh, gotta what's wrong, or oh, no, just this is where I'm at. And what do I have to say about it? How has this informed my life? How am I gonna move forward now? So Addicted came out of that. It was a really powerful program. And I just have to give a shout out and say, if anybody's ever thinking of, it doesn't necessarily have to be writing, it could be just you're at a place in your life where you wish to clear, heal some old wounds, clear, and just come into yourself in a different way, just check it out. Just check out my sister, because she will set you straight.
Sounds amazing.
It's really amazing and transformative. I mean, and everyone that's been through a program, first of all, there were other plays that were created from this, all vastly different because we're so unique. So we all had our own stories to tell, but also all deeply engaging and all relatable and all, you know, relevant and necessary. Like, it's just, I was like, when it happens, maybe once you go, okay, that's a, you know, fluke. Every single person's work that came from this was just revolutionary. Wow. So.
Because it came from truth.
Yeah, exactly. Came from telling our stories. Mm-hmm. And so Addicted allowed me to, I was at a time when I was very anxious, because I mean, for me, my drinking and my addictions, I really kept on the DL. Like, I would just do everything. It was very functioning. I was still able to function, but I just, you know, from the time when I came home type of thing, I'd just either be drinking or smoking or whatever.
Yep. I get that.
Right?
Yep. From sundown. Very much.
Right, and you hide things, and I know how to hide things. I walk with my mouthwash, and I do my stuff. You know, like I just, you know, how to mask and cover.
Yeah,
but it wasn't sustainable. It wasn't. I felt that I needed something in order to be present, in order to deal with the world. I felt that I needed something as a barrier, because once again, this world, I felt like I didn't fit in, and I didn't know how to, I couldn't function it. It was just too painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. So interesting. Yeah.
Right. Isn't so it? It is. So this process allowed me to actually look at that and look at it from a space where I could allow my creativity in, I could allow my sense of play in. And I could give voice. I ended up doing, creating 11 characters, 12 originally, but it ended up being 11 characters within the play. They each had a chance to speak on something that I it might not have necessarily been able to speak to.
Oh, okay.
It became the mouthpieces.
Yes.
Things.
Oh, wow.
So it was very therapeutic as well.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. I was just what you said about, you know, being able to, you know, needing something to deal with this world. And I just said that the other day, somebody was talking to me about, you know, my own alcoholism, and, you know, and it was, you know, and I was, and I said almost those exact same words. And I was like, but right now, like I said, they were asking me about being sober, right? And for me, and I was just explaining to them that I don't use any mind altering substances in order to deal with life anymore. Like, this is how my life has changed, right? You know, and, you know, and I just have to learn. And she was, the lady was asking me, she's like, well, what do you do? How do you do? I'm like, baby, you learn to rock through it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I got a lot of tools that I use, but you just got to rock. Sometimes you just got to rock through it, you know? But it took a long time to get to that point, because I realized once I started looking back into my own story that from a young child, I was trying to distance myself from the pain of reality. You know, I mean, as soon as I learned how to read, I lived in a book, and I would not look up around me, you know, especially in certain situations. I had a book with me, like Linus in his blanket, you know, like, you know, that my book was my Linus blanket. And, you know, and I just had to read. I read addictively, you know, when I was a kid. Like, I really needed cushion from all the crap that was around me. I was just not, that's just how I came into this, onto this earth. It's just the person that I am, you know? You know, so I love how you were talking about, like, being able to look at the situation, just accept, you know, there's a lot of, like, it not, like, I'm not trying to fix, I'm just trying to assess and look and then figure out how to move, how to use it and move forward and grow into something else.
Because our pain is informing us. That's where the healing is, right? That's where the medicine is as well. It's informing us as to what do we need, and whether, and what I found for myself was it was really forgiveness, you know, at first, almost just for myself, really, and it also then extended to my family, let's say my parents, you know, to just understand people, we're doing the best
that we can.
We are doing the best that we can, and that there's just this chain of wounding. So the play Addicted also looks at ancestral trauma and ancestral woundings, what we passed down. I even toy with epigenetics a little bit. That thought of, which I firmly, I do believe in that idea of, you know, my father was an alcoholic, he had a struggle to move through. And unfortunately we felt that, right? And I didn't get to know him very well because he passed. He left us when I was really young, and then he passed. But what I could gather was that he too had a real wounded life. That's usually how it is. And so I became curious as to how that can be traced down through the family lines. How you can inherit that. How can you actually inherit that trauma and that wounding? And so an aspect of the play for myself was also like, okay, how can I then now help heal that family
life?
Right.
Yeah. Because it's got to end.
It's got to end somewhere.
It has to.
Yeah. It has to. Yeah.
And it's coming into my consciousness. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I've been voted the one to.
It's you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm the different one. So I'm going to do something. When I came to that realization, you know, I'm the different one. So I have to do something different. I have to do, I can't keep going on with the generational stuff that keeps coming down. So I'm going to do my best to stop it, since I am the different one anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. So because the pain, for me, the pain, because I had to look at my addictions too. I'm not just addicted to alcohol. I'm I'm an addict. So I had to look at things and realize that, you know, as they say, it was just a symptom. It's not the chemicals and the spending money and all that stuff and the blah, blah, blah. It's just a indication, a symptom of what's going on outside you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got on that road and it's been, you know, interesting. But it was the hardest thing and the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, we're here to tell a story.
That's it.
That's exactly it.
I wish I would have seen the play. I really, really interested in seeing that.
Yeah. I'm working on how I can make it accessible. First off, I am touring it up here in Canada and taking it to Costa Rica in February of 2024.
That sounds like a road trip.
It is.
Sci-Fi Sisters road trip.
I love me some Costa Rica.
If you want to come to sunny Costa Rica, it looks like it's going to be a bit of a party now because I've had some other people say, yes, I would love to vacation, see a show.
Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. You better remember.
Hang out. You know.
Remember where to send the invites.
Costa Rica. What
February.
Month?
February 2024.
Look at this, wait. I think we're on the cruise.
We're in February. I know, right?
I can't remember the dates, but I'm thinking it's like around the 17th, 18th type of, you know, like mid February.
Yeah.
Is that when the cruise is?
I think
no,
so.
It's at the end.
Oh, it's at the end.
It's like
the 22nd through the 29th.
Before, I think.
Let me get some money together.
Bad the cruise is not coming by there.
One of the stops.
But keep us
updated. Get a whole ship of people.
Keep us updated on that one.
I'll keep you updated on that.
Yeah. That I kind of want to know.
Wonderful. That would be the best.
I'm going to circle that.
Be careful for what you wish.
That's right.
That is the truth.
That's right. She'd be like, Here come those Sci-Fi Sisters again.
One little stop.
About 2,000 other people.
Yeah.
That would be fabulous. Oh, I tell you, more the merrier. because this play is a ride. It is a ride. I do look at all kinds of addictions, not, as you're saying, not just drugs and alcohol, but everything, shopping. Mm-hmm. Food, sex. Like it's not the addiction itself, it's what's underneath that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And to help break the stigmas around it. So I'm really looking forward to that. And if I could see my sisters there.
Oh boy.
We're gonna try to work something out.
I mean, come on, manifesting
that.
Man, yes. Costa Rica, I love it there. Oh, definitely.
Okay, wait a minute. Geography. I used to know my geography. Where is Costa Rica? Is it on South America or is it in this hemisphere?
Yes, the isthmus.
Yeah,
the isthmus of.
Well, you know, like the little bridge going between.
Oh,
like
Mexico,
Costa Rica,
Central
Belize,
America.
Costa Rica, mm-hmm. Honduras,
yeah. Panama. Okay, got it. I thought so.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess I could have just looked up at the map, but yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
Ooh, so you were talking earlier about like doing some like voice work and stuff. Do you enjoy the voice work? Is that a cool thing?
I do a lot. I love it because it's very freeing. Like, fun fact, whenever I'm in the booth in the studio, the first thing I do is I take off my shoes.
That's right.
Take off my shoes, sometimes my socks, and just get real comfy. It's mm-hmm. There's something freeing and yet intimate because it's just you and this microphone. You know, mm-hmm. Everything. But I've just loved it because it's storytelling. It's mm-hmm. It reminds me of that original storytelling. Actually, one of my first jobs was a radio drama It was a book called The Famished Road by Ben Okri. And yeah, it was one of those stories where like you have all the Foley artists, so you they have
the doors
and all that. And it was just, I remember enjoying it so much, this magical way of storytelling where it's all just coming from your voice. Painting those pictures and bringing the reader in, the reader, the listener in for the ride. So the voice work that I do these days, I've done some cartoons like Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yay!
Clifford, love Clifford. The Librarian. And there's some other cartoons like Wayside is one that's been done up here. This was years ago. And what I'm working on tomorrow is the Dino Ranchers, which is like these like those shows for the young audiences.
Yes.
So I love those shows because it's like nothing really bad happens in those worlds.
Right.
It's
like, all positive.
Sharing. Yeah. The worst thing is like, oh, I don't want to share my toy.
Right.
I gotta figure out how to get along. valuable lessons, but valuable, I feel like nobody's gonna die.
Right. Yeah. Nobody's dying.
Nobody's dying. It's but I do. Everybody's it's the pulling of out of the hair and the gnashing of the teeth and the end of the world.
Yes.
This is good family fun. So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good for the heart and the soul too.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I like that. Oh, I love that. Yes, because people know when they hear your voice, they're like, "That's a Black woman's voice." I know that voice, and that's comfort.
There's something about that because I do that too. Whenever I hear voice, I'm like, "Oh, I know that's a Black
woman's
voice."
Yeah.
But I did I'm drawing a blank. It's like maple leaf like hot dogs and bacon and sausages. So there's meat products up here in Canada. And don't you know, I'm like, I know it was some Star Trek fans. Online they're like, who does the voice for those commercials?
It's totally Star Trek fans.
And then such a buzz started happening that the maple leaf people got in touch with me. They're like, Schneiders. That's what it is. It's the Schneiders people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like, we've gotten a lot of interest in this in this campaign. And you mind coming in and doing some more? So
hey,
get some more work.
Star Trek. It's the job got that keeps giving.
Right? I was like, I know that was some Star Trek.
Oh, you know it was. Because we didn't watch the damn episodes 20,000 times. So we know your voice.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Because I listened to Such Sweet Sorrow Part 1 and Part 2 for a year and a half.
Right.
I looked at it for a year and a half before it came back on because I knew, I mean, I could just like do it verbatim. Everything. I looked at it for a year and a half.
It's always on. Especially
and it was on live today.
Yep.
Last night.
Last night. Yep. Mm-hmm. Last night it was. Yeah.
I looked at it again.
You weren't alone.
You weren't alone. So did I. And my youngest daughter goes, again?
Yep.
But she said we. She said we because she was watching it too. So cool.
So is there is there anything that you're working on now that that's coming out soon that you want to brag about?
Oh boy, what do I want to brag about?
Or that you can brag about, I should say too.
Okay, well, this is actually a fun show, and I don't know if I you know, heck, I'm going to talk about it anyways. I don't know if I can or can't, but I'm gonna. it's a show for young audiences, called Spellbound.
Okay. Ooh.
And so Spellbound, for me, it's almost like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Hey, hey.
Like the original one. Uh-huh. It's like the original one. So it's really campy. Like it's got that funny, kind of campy humor. And it's about this beautiful little Black girl little black girl. She's you know, in her teens, but mm-hmm. I always think of them as little babies, right? Sure. She wants to be a ballerina. You know, she goes mm-hmm. to ballet school in Paris. And, you know, those are one of the spaces as well that has been predominantly white and Anglo for mm-hmm. such a long time, right? Mm-hmm, that yeah, we don't absolutely. Know. We have some black ballerinas, sure. but, you know, we look at her wanting to discover this life, and she learns that she happens to be a witch.
Okay.
I kind of like fun that
mayhem stuff that goes on, and it's yeah. really, like, it's sweet. It's written by some great women, and the cast is just I've had a blast working with them. A lot of new fresh artists where this was like their first
yeah.
real gig type of thing.
Cool.
But this is their first, you know, voyage out. And it was just a fun time. We filmed it in Paris and in Brussels.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's why you were there.
Oh. Wow. You know,
yeah. Like, I remember girl, going, oh,
witch in Paris?
yeah. So I'm I played the auntie and Aunt Ginger and she kind of messes up things. She's a well-meaning woman, but just sometimes, you know, she's like
you know, like Aunt Clara.
Exactly.
Oh, you look really the witch.
Totally like Aunt Clara. Totally like that. I'm loving, but just my goodness.
Doing knobs.
So I enjoyed it because I don't usually do that type of comedy. Like, I was like, oh, this is kind of. I felt like Raven and Mexo Raven. Like, yes. I'm so Raven now. Be the funny one.
I can't wait for this now.
Oh, I can't wait to see this. Oh.
It's really silly, and the kids and some of the people that have seen it, like the producers and whatnot, they've just been loving it and saying that it's amazing. And so we'll see how it all comes out. They're still remixing it and adding in all their magic glitter and all the stuff but yeah, so I'm curious to see. That should come out, I'm thinking, in the new year.
Okay All right, you gotta come back and talk about it. Bring some of the cast with you. Maybe we'll talk to them. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, because you know that sounds
that sounds like something we want to make sure we're promoting, because I mean, anything that's going to highlight just normalcy of, you know, black kids just trying to be normal kids, trying to do something, you know, and we want to have a safe space for that. So that would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We do.
And having the cast be, well, the leads, you know, be.
Yeah.
It was really wonderful.
Yeah, I can see that when you talked about it, you were like just glowing about it.
Yeah, it was so fun. It was so silly fun. And my character, she's very dramatic. So a lot of like head wraps, jewelry.
Love it.
Fun stuff. So,
I love it. Yeah, I love that. I have one more question. I don't, but you probably can't answer it. But so, will you be in season 5 of Discovery?
I can't say nothing.
No.
Okay. But I can't say nothing about nothing.
Nothing about nothing. Well, I had to ask.
NDA. NDA.
Did ask.
Sorry.
It's all right. It's okay.
They're going to be on that ship. We know you're gonna be there. That ship is in orbit.
Some sass.
They tell the folks off. That's what it is.
Well, we definitely can't wait until the final season. We're sad about it, but
yes, we are. Yeah.
We're sad, but very proud.
Yes, very
proud of that show. I mean, I always say that it's not my favorite show, but it is a show that I am very proud of. And I believe it's an important show. Mm-hmm. And very. I'm so glad it was done. I have this feeling about this show like I have for DS9, but differently. Like, it's so important. DS9 is my favorite show. So everything about it is favorite for me, but Discovery it's right. It's a soul show. Like it just means that this it's going to keep going. Star Trek is good. You know, it's going to keep going. And that's what I always want, that it's going to just keep going. So younger people still be inspired by it, you know, because I know my generation was incredibly, our generation was incredibly inspired by Star Trek. And I just want that to keep going. And I think Discovery is the launching pad for that, for everything else.
Well, yes, exactly. I think it was one of you that said that during the
Tamia.
Probably Tamia.
Yeah,
it was on the panel.
It launched the others. And that came after. We have, you know, Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks, like everything. Like it really reinvigorated, it brought this new life back to the franchise,
yeah.
right?
It was the flagship.
So, it is the flagship now.
It is the flagship, right?
Now.
There was nothing else because Picard wasn't coming back.
I mean, Discovery is really important to all of us. I mean, it's germane to our creation story, because of Sonequa Martin Green, because the reason why Fran and Sabrina got to know each other, defending her online and even before the show had even come out and defending the show. And then us going to a convention, going to a panel with the first season to talk about the first season of Discovery. And we're all these Black women in the audience of this panel, and they want to talk about everything but the fact that a Black woman is the lead of the show. And, you know, and the Sci-Fi Sisters were born from that. I mean, that's an extremely, extremely shortened version of how we came to be. But I mean, that's pretty much how we came to be. So like our DNA, Discovery is the basis of our DNA, of the Sci-Fi Sisters DNA, you know, is how we all met each other. And it's how we came to be. So, you know, the importance of that show for us, it's really personal, but and then it goes even more micro for each one of us, you know, the representation that is on this show and, you know, how the, and for me, like as a person who loves the craft of storytelling in all of its forms, how Discovery started to tell stories in a different way than we've seen before in Trek 2. I bitched about it a lot in some seasons on our podcast. Like sometimes I was just like, oh, this is not the way. But I appreciate it because what it did was it woke up my curmudgeonly old thought patterns that I had. You know, and it shook me out of them. And like, and I saw my friends who were like 20 years younger than me, who completely honing in on this show, like this, everything, how it's the expressions of it, everything was them. And I was like, I get that because DS9 was that for me. And then I had these older people who were TOS heads that were like, this is not how we tell Star Trek stories, you know? And I'm like, but this is how I tell stories. This is how I get stories. Right. Like, this is my Trek, you know? So like, I see the whole cycle again. So, you know, Disco is just amazing for that to me.
Yeah.
Disco's my favorite. I said, Disco's my favorite. Is that for TOS? It's Disco. Disco, Disco, what? Disco, Disco.
Disco's my favorite too.
Something about it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
You're biased. It is.
I wrote a little article about it, you know, how I felt about the cancellation. And one of the things that I mentioned was that, you know, we've seen all these new series come out and, you know, we know the drop time on Thursday nights, but I will wait till 3 o'clock in the morning for Disco. I swear to God.
Yes, she will.
3 o'clock, because I cannot wait to hear that intro music to see that ship and then to see my girl's name, the big Leviathan. I can never get enough of it. So by the time, you know, Friday comes along, I've seen the thing 3 times.
Please.
All tired at work. Everybody's like, what happened? I was like, I was watching Disco. Oh, my God.
At 2:30. Sometimes it dropped around 2:30, 2:15.
You know what?
I would keep checking. Is it there yet? Is it there yet?
I mean, right. You're like, nope, not yet.
Oh my God.
It took me sorrow for a year and a half, literally.
Me and Fred, it's like 6 o'clock. Girl, you know what happened?
But you know, I didn't take it personally when it was, you know, they said it wasn't going to do anything, but I heard something else and it popped in my head. I was looking at Strange New World, and he actually says it's 5-year mission. And I'm thinking it's only going to last 5 years too. Five seasons too. He actually says it's 5-year mission.
Yeah, whereas
Picard said it's continuing mission, and TOS said 5 years.
I mean, well, Pike got a countdown. He got to go sooner or later. Right. He cannot stay there.
Yeah, but
we already know what's going to happen.
Is this supposed to be like 10 years before that?
No, Discovery was 10 years before.
Okay, well, this is 8 years or something like that. Something it is supposed like that, to be, it could go 7, but I think it's going to be 5.
That's
five.
Today's TV. That's the,
That's streaming.
The shelf life.
It's streaming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's attention span too. I mean, even Succession got 5 years. This is the greatest show ever. Yeah, and I got 5 years. So, you know, hey, Discovery, you're in good company. Don't worry about it.
5 seasons? I mean, that's good.
Yeah, they just took those people off. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jesus. I was sick of those people.
I mean, 5 seasons, that's good. Yes, you're absolutely right. I was still pissed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was pissed about it. I was angry.
Oh, you know,
sad,
I need 30 years of Star Trek, so
right.
What?
Yeah. We got it.
What?
Yeah.
I could go on and on with this.
I got all indignant.
Yes, I think we could, but I don't think we are.
Even just to see
right
what
now.
New uniform they're gonna have this year. I think that show has had more uniforms than any other Star Trek.
but Dr. Pollard's uniform hasn't changed.
Doesn't change.
Girl, I love the white.
And you look nice in it. You look really nice in it.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the cute little skirt, sir?
Yeah.
Woo! That was your favorite.
Like that one?
The first day I put that on, oh my goodness, I was strutting around set like a peacock. Looking at me strutting.
Looking good, girl. Looking good.
You look nice.
Yeah, that was.
I felt like okay. I got my go-go boots. I got my cute.
Oh
little...
man,
I was so you felt like
go-go
Uhura.
Boots.
Yeah,
boots.
I'm totally feeling like Uhura. So yeah,
That's what's up.
Yes. Oh gosh.
I know. I was like, oh, look at Dr. Pollard.
Right? Dr. Pollard's trying to get a date or something.
Is Dr. Pollard single?
I have her in my mind, in my backstory. She is, but she's, yes. Short answer is yes, she is. She is.
Is she? Yeah.
Okay. I wish we would. That's what I was looking at Memory Alpha, because I want to know, do we have a backstory for, Dr. Pollard, and there's no backstory. So I was just wondering, did you do your own canon for her?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you got your little backstory put together, what you think.
Came up exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm waiting for some books.
Yeah. Unless something was established, then I'd be like, okay, remix, but
That's cool. Yeah.
Well, y'all, Raven, thank you so much. I mean, you've been so generous with your time. I mean, you're generous with your spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we couldn't love you more. We're so grateful that we got to meet you at Trek Long Island. And we just really feel like you're part of our family. You're a sci-fi sister forever, baby.
That's right.
Yeah. That's it. Yes. Oh, so glad I got to meet you.
I adore you, and just I'm so thankful for this. This has been a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to do this again.
Oh yeah, okay. Be careful
what you wish for.
Costa Rica,
exactly.
We'll call you up next season. We're gonna be like, okay, Raven, come on now,
right?
It's time.
February.
We got stuff to talk about.
Oh yeah, listeners, we're going to Costa Rica.
Reporting on the beach.
Oh man.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's what I'm talking about. We claim that and put that out into the universe. We claim that.
Right. That's what
happens. That is how it happens. I will share this tiny little thing. Part of how I feel I also got the role was I did some manifesting. I would dream and envision myself hanging out with the cast. Yes, I would, because I just wanted to embrace it as much as I could. And I wanted to take it even further than just being on set. I was like, no, we'd hang out, have our little game nights and chat and whatnot. And then there you go.
And it happened, didn't it?
And then it happened.
Right. And game nights and everything, right?
Yeah. Everything.
And supporting you all and your stuff that you did, you know, the cast members, what goes to the things you did, you know, that you all did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so nice.
Yeah. Excuse me. Manifesting does work. I'm here.
It does.
Dream it.
We did it.
We
did it. That's right.
That's it. Of our minds and our hearts.
That's it.
You are what you believe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you again. We love you so very much. And Yvette, can you tell people where they can send in their thoughts about anything that we've talked about tonight or just their well wishes and love for Raven?
I sure can. You can find us at scifisistas.com. That's SYFYSISTAS.com. Join us on the Mothership. That's MUTHASHIP. And the Sci-Fi Sisters Book Club, both on Facebook. On Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, sci-fi.sisters. And we are also on that platform formerly known as Twitter, at Sci-Fi Sisters. For more interviews in our infamous Top 10 series, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Sci-Fi Sisters, Inc. Become a patron of Sci-Fi Sisters today at patreon.com/Sci-Fi Sisters. The Trek Geeks Network's presenting sponsor is Fansets. Go to fansets.com for pins and memorabilia for all your favorite franchises. Visit fansets.com and use Trek Geeks, all caps, for your exclusive 10% discount. After listening to this podcast, please rate us and write a review. We may just read it on an upcoming episode.
One last thing, we got to give a shout out to our engineer, Dose the Anonymous One. He's the baddest engineer in all the universes.
Dose.
So if you are in need of music production services or engineering services, look him up on Instagram at Dose_the_anonymous_one. We love you, brother. And we love you all, too. Thank you for listening. Peace, love, and hair grease.